Why, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello there, James.
Well, hello there, Raleigh.
Why, it's 4 o'clock on KDNK. It must be time for...
Must be time for Everything Under the Sun.
Here we are, the Sopra Sun on the airwaves. I am Raleigh Burley, joined by James Steinler.
Yes, sir.
There was fun news this week. Well, actually, it was in last week's paper, but I noticed you've got a different title these days in the newspaper, James.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Not last week's paper, but this week's paper. You may know this Sopra Sun contributing editor.
Hey, yeah. Check it out.
Check it out.
What does that mean, contributing editor?
I was going to ask you the same thing. It means that, to me, it means that I get to be of support as much as possible to the Sopra Sun and to the All-Star editor, Raleigh Burley.
In my mind, it means you're contributing a lot of stories, which is cool, as we saw this week. But you're also, yeah, like helping out with the editorial aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so appreciative. Couldn't ask for a better sidekick. Thanks to you.
Oh, I'm so happy to be the Robin to your Batman, my friend.
Well, here we are. We've got a guest. Let's get a little Ken laugh in there.
Oh, that's lovely. You know all the secrets.
Daniela Cole is our guest today, and a wonderful person who has lived a long time on and off in Snowmass, and formed a coalition, the Roaring Fork Valley Bear Coalition, with the idea that black bears are a lovely species and deserve to be respected, and we should do our best to not set them up for situations that end unfortunately for the bears and sometimes for humans as well. So, Daniela, welcome to Everything Under the Sun. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. Thank you, Raleigh. Hello, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on and talking on behalf of the bears.
Absolutely.
And the community.
We are so grateful for all the work that you've been doing. Some really cool partnerships have come through this coalition already, particularly with the Aspen Boy Scout Troop 201. So let's start there. How did you get involved with the Boy Scouts, and what have they done to help out with this effort?
Well, I happen to know the person who is the scoutmaster, him and his wife, and they were offering to help us to make the retrofit the trash cans and to actually the straps, which are like a nylon webbing and plastic and like a plastic buckle, and with all sorts of, you know, like bolts and nuts to put them together. And it's very easily done. And I was getting to know Nate Thomas, who is an Eagle Scout from Aspen, the Boy Scout Troop 201. And he offered to make it his Eagle Scout project. And he started in 2019, and he got an award last Sunday. And he got the award to make the straps, basically, for doing this as his project, his Eagle Scout project, sorry.
We mentioned in the article pretty briefly that it was actually an engineer friend of yours who designed these straps. Could you tell us more about that person and your relationship to them, and also the fact that they're doing this in Florida where bears don't hibernate? So what are the differences?
Yeah, well, what happened is in Florida, they have bears. They don't hibernate as per se all year round. I mean, like 5 months. Let's say they hibernate maybe a few weeks here and there. But there's maybe only 5,000 bears at this point. And like a few years ago, there were a lot of issues in central Florida and certain areas of Florida where they had bears. And a dear friend of mine started a bear group in Florida. And she fought very hard for the bears and making communities more bear aware and bear safe. And she got together with this other friend of ours, who is Jim Burochet, and he's on YouTube. And he invented the straps because he wanted to help the bears. Because a lot of those people, like I think in the Valley as well, not everybody can afford a $280 or plus trash can. And let's also remember, a bear-resistant trash can is only as good as the person locking it, right? So therefore, Jim devoted a lot of his time. He's an engineer, and he did this, you know, just in his private time. He's not in it to make any money on it. This is all free and just to help out the community. And it started taking off in Florida, and we've saved over hundreds of thousands of dollars in certain neighborhoods, probably around 3,000 trash cans retrofitted, and Fish and Wildlife approved them, basically. They put it on the system on their website. And when I came here, I said, this is the way it can work here, too. Even though the straps maybe were only used in Florida, the buckle maybe only be resistant for Florida because of, you know, the climate is not like below zero temperatures like here. But my manufacturers, they can make them for me also sub-zero temperatures. And so far, when I was reaching out to Mountain Waste in 2019 when I started, they said they were actually really working well for critters. And, you know, at the time, we just did a few, like, just a few trash cans in certain neighborhoods, and people appreciated them. And it was a great project for my Eagle Scout, Nate. He came together with his troop, like, every 2-3 weeks along with their parents, all helped out. We did it in the Aspen Church. We did it in a few different places. And we did it in someone's garage, and, you know, it just pulls the community together. And it also creates a lot of awareness, and people realize we have bears and, you know, we need to do something.
Absolutely.
People safe and bears.
Yes, it's so important. And this is James, Raleigh's co-host, and I'm interested. Sounds like there's an interesting testing procedure that you're pursuing with the interagency grizzly bear study team to test these straps. Is that right?
Yes, I'm in the process of trying to get the trash can either to Yellowstone or maybe in a place like I was dealing with someone, and maybe we can have them checked here in, I mean, tested with the protocol, the same protocol in Colorado, because I think Colorado is, from what I know from that person, they would be very interested in testing here. And we need to have a testing place here as well. I mean, I'm not a specialist. I will leave that to the people who are expert in that matter, you know. But I think it's beneficial, you know, once if we get the okay. I have videos of bears working on them and for 10 minutes and even for an hour, and they couldn't get to open it. So, you know.
And, of course, if it can withstand a grizzly bear, then surely a black bear would have an even harder time, which...
Yeah, well, I don't know if it would withstand a grizzly bear.
That's, okay.
I don't know about that. You know, we don't have any here, so we don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I'm sorry, but to kind of throw us in a loop here, but I do detect a bit of an accent. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from Switzerland.
From Switzerland. Fantastic. What kind of bears do you have in Switzerland, or do you have bears in Switzerland?
We do actually have bears. They come over from northern Italy, Abruzzo, and they are brown bears, Syrian brown bears. They're not a black bear that you would have here. It's a different type of bear. There's a few there, and they do sometimes get hit by trains, you know, railroads, and as we also have wolves over there, but I don't want to go into that.
So another conversation.
But we do have some bears, not as many as here because it's a small country, only 6 million or 8 million people now.
What is it about bears that you personally find beautiful? You use that word in your literature, on your website. So what is it about bears that you appreciate?
I appreciate them because I know that bears are umbrella species of the ecosystem. And when we make them whole and we protect them and make them not go into town, I mean, we prevent them to get into town, we can basically we can revive ungulate populations as well of other animals. So I think it's like the grizzly bear. It's an umbrella species. Okay, the black bear, we have them here in Colorado, many of them, I think probably over 20,000. And they're part of the umbrella species. and they revive entire. If the bear is healthy, everything else around them will be healthy. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. But again, I'm not a scientist, and probably if somebody, a wildlife biologist, listens to me about this, he might agree partially, but not 100%. So, because I'm only going from what I know from the grizzly bears, but I know black bears are pretty much the same. It trickles down, you know.
Yeah.
To the ecosystem.
How long have you been studying black bears? Or
I'm not studying that. I'm just a layperson who loves bears. And I've done a lot of online courses with wildlife biologists and people from the East Coast, the West Coast. I've read a lot of books also about social behaviors of bears. I'm involved with the IBA, which is the International Bear Association in Alaska. And I got to meet a lot of very interesting people who are research biologists and scientists and studies of bears all over the world, basically. And go ahead, sorry.
No, I apologize for interrupting. I wanted to ask
if
you've had any experiences close hand with bears.
No, I've seen them hiking, and when I see a bear, I usually, first of all, when I go like to a very dense type of forest area, I try to make noise, and you know, I sing if I'm alone, or I talk to myself, which I do more mm-hmm. often than I should, and so I'm walking around talking, and I've seen a few bears here and there, but I always tell them, like when I have them coming through my yard, I know I don't have any attractants, and I always, when I see them, I'm working out in my garden, I just say, hi, Mr. Bear, you know, just move on. And, you know, I see a mom with cubs last summer because I was working a lot from home, and it was just, okay, Mama Bear, just go on, move on. And she wasn't even stopping because there's nothing to stop for. There's no food. There's no attractant. There's no dirty barbecue. There's no dog food or anything lying around, you know what I mean? Or an open garage. I'm trying to be so respectful, like leave a trace. Or I've met a lot of bears. I mean, just hiking, basically, seen them. But I'm always giving them their space.
For folks who are just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun on KDNK. Our guest today is Daniela Cole, who is the founder of the Roaring Fork Valley Bear Coalition. And the Roaring Fork Valley Bear Coalition is one of the first 10 members of the Colorado Bear Coalition. This is a new movement, kind of bringing these disparate bear advocacy organizations together under one umbrella. Could you tell us a little bit more about how your local organization came to be a part of this larger organization?
Yes. I actually, when I formed the Roaring Fork Valley Bear Coalition, I said to myself, let me do it like the Boulder Bear Coalition, like similar, the same type of methods, because a friend of mine was volunteering for Brenda Lee in Boulder. And she gave me some hints of what to do about, and then I took some of it also from the Florida Bear Group that I was working with and giving, you know, like my input, my advice, and whatever I thought could be helpful for neighborhoods. So I started with that, and I based a lot on the Boulder Bear Coalition because she was very successful, especially for a city. Okay, they're not in prime black bear habitat, but still there's a lot of, you know, people and a lot of traffic and the campus and the students, and they're not aware of, and they leave out their pizza boxes that it might attract the bear. And then my friend was doing the trash patrol, and she's the one who told me, you know, I have to, this is what's going on, and it goes, like with a little app, it goes into the city's app and they enforce the fines and all that. I said, that's great. Let's do the same thing more or less for here. And I was thinking of Aspen, but not for the whole valley. But then anyway, so I got to meet, long story short, I got to meet last year, finally, after going through all these baby steps and trying to make some progress here, which was not the easiest because a lot of people are, you know, they're most of them are helpful. They want to help out, and they're all excited about it. But it can feel pretty lonely to be starting a bear coalition by yourself, like just having your volunteers to make the straps, the retrofitting straps. So by chance, I met Brenda Lee because I got a phone call from Boulder. There was a bear cub running around the area, and somebody called me, and I don't know how they got my number. So I told them, please reach out to Brenda, which they did. And Brenda, afterwards, we got to talk, and they settled the story with the little bear cub in Boulder locally. And then, you know, everything was taken care of with CPW, and they did what they had to do. Later on, she invited me to a call with CPW where the two agents were actually explaining what happened to the bear and how they relocated the bear. They were super nice, and they were, it's like just showing how you have to work together as a big, with like different stakeholders like CPW, law enforcement, municipalities and towns and cities and trash haulers. That's like of utmost importance. That's something I also did when I started here. I did reach out to CPW.
And that's Colorado Parks.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife, yes.
Right.
So that, and I had a very good, you know, like meeting with Matt Yamashita. Of course, it was in the middle of COVID, but, you know, we were supposed to have a bear summit, but it didn't happen. It was just, everything was thrown around, so, or changed or canceled. So,
and Matt,
but anyway, so I finally, I start, go ahead, please.
Oh, just for folks who are listening, Matt Yamashita is our local agent here for Colorado Parks and Wildlife, an area wildlife manager. And he manages, right, Aspen, Vail, Glenwood Springs, generally,
KD&K
listening area.
Yeah, he was really great. He gave me some great advice. I mean, not advice, but he just gave me some just good pointers. Of course, they cannot give you advice and tell you, but he was telling more or less, you know, this is what he has to deal with or what's going on. And he was just really helpful. And I always tried to keep him posted of what I was doing, including making the straps and, and the community efforts and all that. But like I said, last year was a little bit of a strange year, but it all ended up pretty good.
I like what you say about it being a community effort, that there are all these stakeholders, the trash haulers, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, municipalities, and it's really a collective responsibility. I remember Brenda Lee telling me in Boulder, she felt like there was such a frayed relationship between some local bear advocates and Colorado Parks and Wildlife. So one of the first things she did was reach out to Colorado Parks and Wildlife and start volunteering.
Exactly.
To establish a relationship and start to bridge those two people and find the common goal, being that we want to avoid these conflicts and keep humans safe and ideally keep bears safe too.
Mm-hmm. I have to say,
go ahead. No, it's like connecting the dots, as Brenda Lee puts it nicely, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I love Brenda Lee's strategy that she's and the town of Boulder are pursuing to create the natural food buffer outside of city limits, where they're, that sounds so neat, where they're planting things like choke cherries and wild plums and currants, which are typically what bears should be eating off of, and to keep them from coming into town to mosey through trash cans.
Right. True.
Yeah, to me, that's really novel. It's, you know, going beyond, let's keep bears out of human, you know, sources of food, but also let's provide them more of an opportunity to fill up and stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting doing this research to find that actually black bear populations are considered very healthy. Like you said, 20,000, possibly more bears in the state. And so it's an interesting part of the equation that despite the wildfires, the drought, even hunting licenses existing for bears, they seem to be doing generally okay.
Yeah, I think they're extremely resilient also. You see sometimes injured bears or, you know, bears with just three legs, tripods, and, you know, they survive pretty well. And, I mean, they're super resilient. And every hibernation they have, it's like a rejuvenation of their whole body, basically. It's like a recycling system. Everything is just working perfect afterwards, most of the time.
Yeah, I have a friend who was talking to me about how she considers the bear as a species to be really interesting, like in a mystic way. The fact that it does spend so much of its time sleeping, like it goes into this deep state of sleep to reemerge, and what we can, you know, what meaning
learn.
We might be able to draw from that. Yeah, like their response to the winter.
Right, exactly. Well, there's been plenty of studies done. Again, I'm not a specialist, but I heard they found like the bears don't have osteoporosis.
Wow.
They, even though they don't move for like 5 months, and I don't remember what study it was. It was pretty interesting. I don't know if it was a grizzly bear or a black bear, but it was incredible. So they, unfortunately, not a lot is known about bears, but I think they're getting more and more into it. And another person that I've learned a lot was Dr. Benjamin Killen from New Hampshire. He's the Killen Bear Center. He has done breakthrough research on black bears.
What do bears dream about?
Yeah, we don't know. Probably some nice berries.
Choke cherries. Yeah, choke cherries.
Right. A blueberry pie, probably.
Absolutely. Sending in the windowsill. I can't blame him for that.
I know, right? No, me neither.
One thing that you said earlier that I think is really good advice for a layperson in Colorado is how you described your hikes, and when you'd see bears out on a hike or something, is respecting each other's space. Would you say that's right?
Yes. First of all, you cannot startle a bear, any bear, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to make enough noise that he can see you.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you never know what happened to the bear previously. If it's a mom and a cub and she got spooked maybe before with a male bear who was trying to mate with her, and she still has her cub, so she probably had a big fight with him. So you never know, she will turn around and take it out on a human because she was frustrated. But those are all ifs and whens, and nobody will know really why. But I think if you give them, since they can't see you, sometimes you go through those brushy, dense habitats up in, you know, in the forested areas and all that. So I think it's best just to make a lot of noise, and when you fall up on one, it's just like speak softly. Don't scream and yell and freak out and do all this stuff. And you will see by the body language, I think.
Well, Daniela Cole, founder of the Roaring Fork Valley Bear Coalition, we are just about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts, final comments? And we will give out the number for people to reach you for having their trash can retrofitted with one of these straps.
No, okay. I think that, like, because we have the Colorado Bear Coalition and I'm a member of them, currently we have like 10 members. My thought is whoever has bear worries and would like to start something with like a bear coalition or get involved, and, you know, like the Colorado Bear Coalition will offer a lot of support, and because they have the advice, the guidance, the expertise, and also we could, like, even my coalition and the Colorado Bear Coalition, which I'm part of it too, we could even offer like human carnivore scientific studies from our advisory board, or like, you know, we can just help getting a toolkit for cities together, and how people can create, I mean, how towns or small mountain towns or tourist towns can create their own bear safe programs, for example. You know, there's so many things we can do. But I'm happy to do my trash patrols, my neighborhood watch, like I did with your graphic designer lady. Yelise was so kind in her neighborhood, and it already has helped because people now, they realize that, you know, that there's a bear in the area. And why is the bear there? Probably because of the attractant, and we tried to get to the bottom of this.
Shout out to Elise Golden, our graphic designer.
I know, she's the best.
And the number to reach, you can find it in the newspaper, 1205-710-2977.
No.
Oh, not that number.
It's 1305.
Ah.
I think I quoted wrong, but the advertising is good.
Okay, check for the ad. We'll correct it online. Thank you, Daniela.
Thank you.
And also very active on social media. You can look them up, Roaring Fork Valley Bear Coalition on Facebook.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for the shout out. The bears are appreciative.
Well, we really appreciate what you do. Thank you so much, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Daniela.
You so much. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Bye. Thank
Have
you.
A great Bye. Rest of your day.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks so much, James, for joining me here on Everything Under the Sun.
It's always such a pleasure, Ellie.
And a big thank you to everybody who tuned in. Don't forget to pick up a fresh copy of The Soap for Sun on stands today.
You got it.